But you need to know something, believers in America. Your brothers and sisters all over the world are perishing at an alarming rate. Christianity Today, in the year 2012, released an unnerving study, and they estimated that since the year 2000, 100,000 Christian martyrs every year. That's in 2012. But you've heard of the videos of some of the ISIL and ISIS groups videotaping the beheading of Christians. Please understand, my beloved brothers and sisters. Praise God for the ability to gather in a setting like this. Most of your brothers and sisters in the Middle East and across Northern Africa do not have that luxury. Have been burned alive, beheaded, tortured, arms cut off at the forearm, all because they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to get at is American Christianity, with its seeker-friendly and sensitive services. In fact, let's take down anything like crosses and things, anything that a non-believer might come in and say, the cross is crowding me. Don't talk about sin, especially my sin. Don't talk about my responsibility once I am saved to follow after the Lord with repentance and seeking His word even above my convenience or my cherished relationships. It's not a popular method and message, I'll give you that. But this is what Jesus is telling His disciples. This is the church. Brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will raise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. It's not done yet. Verse 23. And when, not if, they persecute in this city, flee to another. In other words, don't give up. Just keep rolling. And take some more abuse in the next community. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man has come. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Right, boys? And they're all, yeah. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, you know what that is, right? Literally means Lord of the Flies. In the chapter previous to this, Jesus cast out a demon out of the guy. Supernatural confrontation that Jesus wins hands down. And they're all going, yeah, that was definitely supernatural. But you can't be the Mashiach Nagid, so you're the devil. And if they called me the devil, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, Harvest Family Fellowship. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nothing hidden that will not be known. Basically saying, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. When something doesn't seem fair to us, if we're trying to live for Him, please understand, God allowed confrontation because it's an opportunity for you to share the Spirit of God that is flowing in you and through you. And it's God's job to keep the ledger who did what, not us. Our job, stay filled with the Spirit. Verse 27. And whatever I tell you in the dark, this could be rendered pre-dawn. In other words, before the sun comes up. What was Jesus' habits? When did he often like to pray? A great while before the sun came up. Could be understood. Whatever I tell you in the pre-dawn, when does Jesus talk to me, Steve, in the pre-dawn? There's something in me that likes to sleep in as long as possible with several stabs at the snooze button. Whatever I tell you when you get up when it's inconvenient for you, speak in the light of what you hear in the ear, preach to the housetop. If you have a pen, write in your margin here, Proverbs 8, verse 17. Listen to what the Lord says. I love those who love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. Write also Isaiah 50 verse 4. The Lord God, Jehovah God, has given me, Messiah, the tongue of the learned. Remember that when Jesus, he would show up on the situation and the scribes and Pharisees had been planning for months to pull off the perfect situation? And Jesus had a habit of saying one or two things and deflate the whole thing. Here's a woman caught in adultery in the very act. And there she is. Ha! Are you supposed to stone her? The Bible says you should. Or are you going to let her go? And if he does, we get to cry, ha! Blasphemer! Ha, we got him. We so got him. High fives. What are you going to do about that, Mr. Messiah man? Write something in the dust. I like to think it's the times and places where the same guys were with the same woman. I don't know that that happened. But here's what he says. You're right. I'll tell you what. You who are without sin, you go ahead and throw the first stone. That's awesome. And then, of course, nobody did, and they all left. Do you see any of your accusers around you? She looks around through her tears. No. Because what did the law say? You had to have a witness of. And if there's nobody there in and under the law, is the maker of the law able then to say to her, neither than I accuse you? How does Jesus come up with that stuff? Isaiah 50 verse 4. The Lord God, the Father, has given me, the Messiah, the tongue of the learned. Boy, did he ever. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. I'd like to do that. How do I do that, Lord? Here's your answer. Because he, the Father, awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. There's something powerful, Harvest Family. Getting up early in the morning, getting in your word and asking God to speak. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. And I know some mornings you read your couple verses, your 20 minutes, and I know, you know, it didn't seem like anything happened. Oh, please understand, God's word is living and active and dynamic. When it's time, and you happen upon a situation, maybe it's that day, maybe it's the next day, maybe it's even next week, and somebody says to you, I'm weary. My marriage, my finances, I have no sense of wholeness in my soul. You don't understand what I'm facing this week. My wife, my husband, my son, my daughter, my parent in the hospital. Precious brother who sits right there on Wednesday nights had some discomfort in his lower abdomen. It went to his doctor and they said, well, we don't know. And then finally somebody said, Lowell, let's give you a CAT scan. Let's see what's going on. And he had a 12 centimeter aneurysm on his aorta. So the incision went from just below the Adam's apple all the way to the pubic bone. The descending aorta is very deep within the core of the human body. So they had to go in deep, and they found it, praise God, and they ministered to that medically. But here's what I'm getting at. 2 weeks in front of that, our brother was sitting right here on a Wednesday night. How's it going? Good. Smiling. And in a moment's time, the whole family is quite focused, as they should be, on praying for their husband and their father. And we've been doing just that. But here's the thing. I went and I saw him. And he's in ICU. Because in my mind's eye, I see my brother. And I played baseball with him for years. Back in the 80s when I was young and bendy. And believe me, at one time I was young and I was bendy. I was fast. I'm not so fast anymore. I fast with a ho-ho, but I'm not so fast otherwise. I can eat a ho-ho before you can turn around and catch me. But there was my brother. But he was intubated, and he had tubes, major surgery. And he had come potentially within days, if not hours, suddenly bleeding out and dying. But there he was. And he saw me, and he was basically immobilized. And I walk up, and I was going to grab his hand, but I couldn't. Tubes and IVs in this hand, tubes and IVs in this hand. So all I could grab was a little part of his forearm. Ask the stupidest question in the world. How you doing? There's your sign right there. I'd like to say, and I had just the perfect thing to say. I didn't have the perfect thing to say because I was frightened for my brother. Not frightened because he knows Jesus, but this idea of a sudden turn of events. So I had my Bible with me, and I opened up to Psalm 34. And I read about King David at one of the most trying times in his life, within visual range of his house, but he couldn't reach out to his family because Saul probably would have killed him. In the cave of Adullam, chapter 34, verse 1, at the lowest point in David's life, maybe as he's in that cave, all the crazy things. Samuel, you're the next king of Israel. Goliath, you come to me with spears and sword. I come to you in the name of the living God. Saul has killed his thousands, but David is 10,000s. All of that, a universe away, as he was in a cave, having just had to fake that he was crazy, spitting down his beard, scratching at the gates of Gath, looking at his family that he can't reach out to, and he is completely and utterly alone. Can you just hear the doubt monsters around? Look at you, King of Israel. Pah! What a ruse! What a laughable suggestion! I'm in a cave! And everything has been taken from me. He writes Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. It's one thing in your own devotion. It's another thing holding onto the forearm of a brother and seeing in his eyes not only the physical discomfort of being connected to life support as he was, but just the sudden turn of events of his family. Let us exalt the name of the Lord together. What do you mean us? It's David in a cave, dude. You got a mouse in your pocket? You know who the us is that David knew full well who it was? Me and who, everybody? My God. Let us exalt his name forever. Whatever I tell you in the dark, in the pre-dawn, speak in the light, verse 27, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Truth be known, most of us wait for pastor to teach us about stuff in the Bible. Am I teaching you how to feed yourselves? I hope so. Have I told you about having a Bible dictionary close by? Have I given you a couple heads up of some great little application commentaries? That with the dictionary, when words trip you up, who is that guy? Who is this town? You can look that up. And then in a brief application type commentary, are you learning how to feed yourself in the Word of God? Because what if Pastor Steve's not around? Are you going to fold? Verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's who we have to reverence. Verse 29, and are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? That's it's a farthing. 1/16 of a denarii, which was a typical day's wage. So it wasn't very much. And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs on your head are numbered. You guys know that? Some of you, God has less time to count. Nah, I'm sorry about that. And remember, he bottles our tears. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny who is in heaven. Verse 34, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. Now watch this. Well, isn't that what church is all about? Kumbaya, my Lord, pass me the taco. Isn't that fellowship? No, I'm not against food and fellowship. In fact, I'm a big fan of it. But the point of it is, have we grown so accustomed? Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. Uh-uh. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Seriously, Lord? For I, which is to say the kingdom, have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those even of his own household. Remember those 10 waves of persecution, and they were turning each other in? That cutthroatness? He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You remember the Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage a couple weeks ago? If you had a Facebook account, did you see all the stuff going back and forth? Did you see the people who like to talk about the love of Jesus? They know that Jesus is love and they know that Jesus loves them, but they have this understanding of, well, but doesn't the Bible say that same-sex arrangements is not right? And we went on that next week to say, not just homosexual relationships and lifestyles, but look at these others. Lying, fornication, adultery, stealing. It's a lifestyle. God says, if you continue, you're going to die. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you, but the Bible says if you're truly born again, ask me and I will give you the supernatural power to live a godly lifestyle. We get lots of mail on that one. Pastor Steve, I was born this way. And I write back and I say, so was I. I was born an adulterer. I was born a thief. And I was born a liar. And if I'm not word, worship, prayer, and fellowship, that lifestyle will get back on me. Precious brother, precious sister, in that lifestyle, God says, I can fill your heart to overflowing. And like any other sinful temptation, I get you so full of me that your heart is in a very different place. But will I have the inclination? Probably. Here's the key. Through the filling of the Holy Spirit, you won't act on it. He who receives me also receives you. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. What is that saying? If you receive Jesus, who are you really receiving? God the Father. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's award. When someone shares the gospel and the person responds, what treasures are opened up to the person who just got saved? Verse 42, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cool water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Living out my confession for Jesus Christ and his kingdom is crucial, especially in these last days. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 4 says, but you, brethren, if you will, you Harvest Family Fellowship, you are not in darkness. Ezekiel chapter 33, I got to leave you with this idea. Chapter 33, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people. Steve, speak to the flock that you are the shepherd of. And say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land and the people of the land, take a man from their own territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take the warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, well then his blood shall be on his own head. That makes sense, right? Now verse 6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require of that watchman's hand. Verse 7. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. Since I got saved in 1980, prophecy has not only been a bit of a hobby, but it's been a source of significant and focused study. And loved one, I want to tell you something. Oh my, what's been going on? Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we went through this exercise today. And I think again of Kirk Douglas at the helm of then the mightiest war machine ever invented by humans. Take that carrier with all of its aircraft and missiles and ammunition and 6,000 personnel. Put them back to December the 6th, 1941. Should the captain use everything in his power? Answer, what is the answer? Yes, to defend. And loved one, it is my supposition that God has given us the future in the form of these fulfilled Bible prophecies. And with them in our grasp, we're sort of like Kirk Douglas at the helm of an aircraft carrier. And we have it within our ability to speak and to live and to warn, to encourage, to be a watchman. That's why God had you alive today in Reno Sparks in the year 2015. Because he recognizes within you the glimmer of, here am I, Lord, send me. Everybody's head down, everybody's eyes closed. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, let's spell it out again. You and I are hopeless sinners. And there's only one way to find the eternal salvation that keeps you away from an eternal hell of torment. That's God's finished work on the cross of Jesus Christ. If you don't know the Lord, you need to. And it can begin with an intellectual decision. I give you all of my life, Lord. And if that's you this morning, I need you to raise your hand and say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I give you my life and my heart. Please give me the fullness of your Holy Spirit. And please, Lord, pour through me all the things I need to be repentant and to change a lifestyle that is killing me. Raise that hand up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. How come you're a Christian? Because I raised my hand once at Harvest? No. Why am I a Christian? Because I've given my life to Jesus Christ, and I'm in the Word a lot. I worship every chance I get. I pray, and I'm in fellowship. That's how I know, because my life is different. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.